Shalom Aleichem, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Shoftim. Before I begin, I'd like to mention that next week, Be'ezus Hashem, I will be giving this year at 1:15 instead of 2:15 because I hope to be in the air at 2:15. So again, next week, Be'ezus Hashem at 1:15. As far as this week's Parsha, Parshas Shoftim, it deals in the beginning with things related to Beis Din, to Dayanim. The idea of listening to the psak of the Beis Din. In the Derech Sicha, here, he brings a beautiful pshat that's negeya to a Gemara that the Daf Yomi just passed. So, let me share it with you. The aside is a well-known aside. The idea is that when Beis Din paskens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyahu gave over the kayach of psak Beis Din to the Beis Din down here. And whoever the psak is down here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyahu follows that psak. And that's a known idea from the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Here, in Derech Sicha, they bring the kasha that the stipler, rather that Rav Chaim Kanievsky asked his father, the stipler. And that relates to a Gemara. The Gemara Brachas David Chesam at Beis brings a story of Chassid Echad Shechnitasa Yishtai. An unnamed chassid whose wife berated him, and he had to run away from her, and he ended up sleeping in the Beis HaKfaris. Presumably that was the only place she would not follow him. And when he slept in the Beis HaKfaris, he heard spirits talking about what was going on in the Beis HaShomayla, and it was revealed to him that in Beis HaShomayla they ruled that in the coming year the crops that were planted on time would be destroyed, and only those planted late would survive. As a result, he went, planted late, and was successful. The second year, a similar story happened, and again, he was successful in the planting of his crops. This is the Gemara Brachas Daf Yud Ches. Taisus and Rosh Hashanah, Daf Dezayin Amud Aleph, brings that incident took place on Rosh Hashanah. That's why the Neshamais that I mentioned in the Gemara were going up to hear in Shemayim what was taking place at the Kiseh HaKavod. And Taisus asks a kasha. Taisus asks that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that the Pesach nidayinim alatua, that as a Chagah Pesach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world as to how much wheat will grow the coming year. And if so, that incident which took place on Rosh Hashanah should not have been the time of a psak regarding tefillah. Probably the kasha. Taisus answers in one teretz that Chassid Echad Sheknitasa Yishtai, that individual whose wife had berated him, held like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that B'chol Davar Nidayin Rosh Hashanah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges everything on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, when he went there, he was heard the Psak in Shemayim on Rosh Hashanah for Tefillah. Rechaim Kanievsky, when he went to Taisus, asked his father, Yibad L'chaim, the stipler, that if so, if in fact in Shemayim they were paskening Tefillah on that day, on Rosh Hashanah, so that should finalize the Machlaikis. The Chachamim hold that B'chag Nidayin Malatua. Rabbi Yehuda holds on Rosh Hashanah the din of Tefillah takes place. From this story we see that in Shemayim they follow Rabbi Yehuda. So that incident should be a psak like Rabbi Yehuda. The stipler told him an incredible answer. He said, first of all, that pshat in Taisus is that chassid himself was Rabbi Yehuda. That was Rabbi Yehuda, Shechnitasa Yishtai, and that in Shemayim, they follow the psak of each person, meaning each Adam Gadol, for him. So that, for the rest of the world, the psak on Tefillah was not until Pesach. But for Rabbi Yehuda Dafka, the psak on Tefillah was heard by him on Rosh Hashanah, because in Shemayim, they paskin like we paskin down here, to the extent that for Rabbi Yehuda, they paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and for the Chachamim, they paskin like Chachamim. And the Beis HaShomayla actually split its psak for Rabbi Yehuda like him, and for the Chachamim, and all those that paskin like the Chachamim, like them. He brings a similar story. The story is brought in the biography of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that there was a man who had a lung disease. Rav Chaim Chaim Elazar told them not to move out of his city. Why not? They told him, because your city follows the psak of the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh holds that this lung disease is not a trachis. However, everyone else paskens that it is. As long as you stay in the city where the psak is that it's not a trachis, you will live. But if you move elsewhere, then in Shemayim they'll follow the psak that it is a trachis, and then you will not be able to live. Incredible idea that in Shemayim follows the psak down here. In the Hakadosh Shel Pesach, in Kel B'nei, we sing a song that attributes 22 titles to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adiru, Baruch Hu, Gadol Hu, Dagol Hu. In the order of the Aleph Beis, we attribute titles to Hashem, and every one of those titles comes from a pasuk in Tanakh. Except letter Lamed. By Lamed we say Lomud Hu. God is learned. Some cipher in his drashas writes that it's an improper title. He calls it Mecharef Umegadeth. What do you mean God learns? That implies a lack of knowledge for God before he learned. Nechsam Sefer says not to say Lomud Hu. In the Haggadah of Nechsam Sefer, this is brought. He says perhaps you should say Loichem Hu. The Pasuk says Hashem Ishmuchama. And therefore, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Loichem, one who does battle, would fit better than Lomud Hu. I saw one of the Haggadahs at Teretz. The answer to Nechsam Sefer's complaint. That Lamud Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is learned, implies HaKadosh Baruch Hu learned, and that implies a lack of Yediyah originally, which is inappropriate. And his teretz was, based on the Vart was saying now, that in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows the Psak down here. So that if down here, Rabbi Yehuda Paskin, that the Tfuah was Paskined on Rosh Hashanah, even though in Shemayim there was never such a Havamina, in Shemayim, the Chagni Dainim Ala Tfuah. But Lamud Hu means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiviyachu, in his Andasa Nusa, in his humility, follows the Psak from down here, Lamud Hu, as if he's learning from the Psak down here. This is one thought, a series of stories, or Veretlach, on this thought of HaKadosh Baruch Hu following the Psak of the Bez Neshamata. Let's move on. He says, when you go out to do battle, now 1 minute, this is not Parshas Kiseitze. Next week is Parshas Kiseitze. But actually, the dinim, the laws of doing battle begin in the beginning of Perek Chaf of Parshas Shoftim. And there we have the pasuk, Kiseitze la milchama ala yadecha, when you go out to do battle against your enemies. Now it's true that Parshas Kiseitze begins that way as well. But here, Kiseitze la milchama talks about Mechemes Mitzvah. And the second Parsha of Muhammad, Kiseitze of Muhammad, in Parshas Kiseitze, refers, as Rashi says, the Muhammad Rishus HaKasa V'Daber. So there are two descriptions of battle, the laws of battle, the Kiseitze in this week's Parsha, Muhammad Mitzvah, and the Kiseitze of next week's Parsha, Kiseitze, Muhammad Rishus. The Sefer Nesiv HaShalim has a beautiful arichus, both here and there, about this general concept of going out to do battle. And the idea that when the Torah gives instructions for doing battle, Kiseitze la milchama, they are actually hidden instructions for doing battles with the Yetzer Hara. The daily battle that a person has with his Yetzer Hara to do things properly and to avoid doing things improperly. The Mechemes Mitzvah is the Mechama of Tov and Ra, good and evil. To do an Aveira or not to do an Aveira. To do a Mitzvah or to miss a Mitzvah. The second type of battle, Kiseitze la Milchama, is the Milchama of Kodesh V'Chayel. The Milchama is Rishus HaKasa Medaber. The things that a person is allowed to do, but he could do in a higher way, in a way of greater Kedusha, that too is a battle. The lesson of the expression Kiseitze la Milchama in these parashiyos, as opposed to an expression of Kisavai Milchama Ba'atzachem, which we find elsewhere, is that there's a lesson here in doing battle. When one does battle, he should try to take the battle to the enemy. Kiseitze la milchama means you go out to do battle. Don't let the enemy come to you to do battle. You go out to him. If you go to the enemy to do battle, and chalila, you lose a battle, so you can always fall back to your original position. Whereas if the enemy comes to us and chalila a battle is lost, then all is lost. So the instructions in fighting is to go out to do battle. The same thing is true in doing battle against the Yetzer Hara. We have to put up fortifications to protect where we are. If our battle is with the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit, then God forbid, when we lose, we're lost. It's very difficult. We need to be able to do battle in areas that we go out to the Yetzer Hara, which means to say, to take on gedorim, siyagim, to do things in a way that leaves room for error. If a person gets to davening for Baruch Hu, and he fights his Yetzer Hara and loses, he won't be a minion at all. A person who strives to have his tefillin on before brachis, such a person will also struggle. The Yetzer Hara will try to convince him not to make it to shul before brachis. If he strives to be from the Asara Rishainim in shul, and it's a good goal, to be from the 10 first people at minion, then if he loses that battle, he will still be davening, a great davening, a geshmaka davening, he'll be there for the whole davening. He said, Tzeila milchama lo yivecha. Don't do battle over fundamentals. Put gedorim, put siyagim, put things in your way that will allow you to have leeway. It's like doing battle when there's a no man's land. Cross the no man's land to do battle. And worst comes to worst, you fall back. Don't let the battle be over the fundamentals. If someone sees a Yetzer Hara over fundamentals, first thing he's got to do is put up a fence. He's got to battle in a way which would bring him to a higher level. Take the battle there. Take the battle to your enemy. We're told that before they go to battle, we're told in the parasha that the Kohen Gadol would announce that certain people were exempt from the draft, exempt from going to do battle. One was exempt for reasons of having just been married, purchased a house, or planted a vineyard. Or Hayarei v'larach haleivav, somebody who is fearful of going to do battle. So Hayarei me'avei rishav yaday, woman the other says. Years ago, I heard a beautiful story which illustrates what the battle looked like in the time of the Shoftim. It was during the time of the Haskalah, and in one of the yeshivas in Europe, the Maskilim put on a Purim Shvil. And people came to complain to Rav Baruch Be'er, they complained to Rav Baruch Be'er, the Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenetz, that the Maskilim had put on a Purim Shvil that went as follows. On stage, Mashiach had come, and Jews were going to the battlefield to do battle with Gog u'Magog, the final battle in the era of Mashiach. And as Gog u'Magog is coming to attack, the Kohen Gadol gets up and he says, if you built a house, go home. Some people go home. If you just married or planted a vineyard, go home. Others go home. If you're afraid, if you're fearful for an aver in your hand, go home. And on stage, all the Jews went home. What remained were two Jews, actors. One was playing the part of the Chafetz Chaim, and one Reb Chaim Eizer, the two Gedalei Hadar. And as Gog u'Magog is attacking it from the distance, the Chafetz Chaim turns to Reb Chaim Eizer and he says, here's a bow and arrow. You're the Gedalei Hadar. You shoot first. And Reb Chaim Eizer says, Chas v'shalom, you're a Kayan. You shoot first. And as Gog u'Magog is coming closer and closer, the Chafetz Chaim and Reb Chaim Eizer are those posing as them, are fighting over who should have the kibbut for the erste shus, for the first shooting of the arrow. And with that, the curtain went down. And they complained that the maskilim were making fun of an etayra of Talmidei Chachamim. And Rav Baruch Be'er responded, Chayzik machenzei, they're making fun? Azoy vet takazayn. Indeed, that's the way it will be. That's the way Yitz Muhammad will look in the time of Mashiach. A battle of Hayore Varach Haleva, Hayore Menate Rashaviyate, who can imagine such a thing? So, three thoughts on the parasha. One on the idea, Erech Picha, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu following the Pesach of Ben Shomata. One on going out to do battle. And one, Rav Baruch Be'er's thought on what the battle would look like. I'd like to end with the kasha. This week's parasha, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Ches, we have the idea of chelek kechelek, chelek kechelek yechelu, that the kayanim get a chelek, a portion of the karbonis that are brought. Now, as you all know, when it came to Eretz Yisrael and the family of the kayanim multiplied, karbonis were made first in the time of Shmuel and then in the time of David to set up a mishmar, a 24-week cycle in which different families of the kuna, each one would come and get its chelek. The idea of the mishmar seems obvious enough, simple enough. Every kohen is entitled to come at any given day. And they made a deal. I give up my right for 23 weeks, and on my week, the 23 families give their right to me. It seems to be a simple type of dine moment. However, here in the pasuk, chelek yechelek yechelu, each family gets its chelek, levad mimekarav ala avos, besides that which is sold in previous generations. And Rashi says, levad mimekarav ala avos, this idea of except what was sold, is a pasuk which refers to Yemei David v'Shmuel. The idea that the mishmar could sell one to the other. I find this confusing. Why do I need a pasuk exeris hakasif? What is a basic dinei moment? And the kohen decided not to go this way, and that any kohen could come any time. That would have been fine. It's confusing to me why we need a pasuk for what Shmuel and David are going to do much later in the future. The davar zeh tzarachian. So much for this week's parasha, but this afternoon. I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. I hope the month of Elul has taken hold. I always picture when we learn about Yaina coming 40 days before the destruction of Nineveh and saying, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And had a prophet, a Navi, an old Navi, come to New York City and said, in 40 days, the city will be destroyed. We would have said to him, in typical New York fashion, 40 days? What are you coming now? Go home. Come back 10 days before, 5 days before. We'll take care of it. Well, it's within 40 days of Yom Kippurim, and each of us should be wise enough to take seriously the time that we're in, a time of great opportunity, and to make something of it, to do something different. A good Shabbos and a meaningful Elul to all.